Welcome to the Missions Show, where we explore your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE. And today we welcome to the show a friend and a returning guest, Darren Carlson, founder of Training Leaders International, an organization dedicated to educating national and indigenous pastors across the world. Did you know that more than 80% of the world's churches have pastors with no formal theological education? TLI is working to train that. Darren has done some important work in that regard for years, but Darren also has a new devotional book out, walking through the book of Acts, and so we're excited to talk to him about that today. Today's episode is a little bit different. I wasn't able to be a part of this one, but my illustrious co-host, Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Scott was able to have this conversation with Darren, and so we'll bring you that presentation in just a moment. But thank you for being here. Remember to share the show with a friend, and if this show has been a blessing to you, get more content at missionsshow.com. You can also learn more about ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, at abwe.org. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, remember to leave a positive rating and again to send the link to a friend. With that out of the way, we now bring you this exclusive conversation between Scott Dunford and our friend, Darren Carlson.
And so it's my pleasure today to introduce to you Dr. Darren Carlson. Darren, welcome to our show. We're so glad that you joined us again. I think it's been probably 3 or 4 years since you've been on this show because you're such a busy guy.
I think it was the last time I was on the show was pre-COVID.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, a lot has happened in your life since then. The new documentary, Jesus in Athens, which I think is probably what we talked about then.
Yeah.
You've gone from being the president of Training Leaders International to now just simply being the founder. Wow. You know, that's a big change. And the lead pastor of Redeemer Evangelical Free Church in Bozeman, Montana. And so you've had a lot of transition going on in your life. And thank you for taking some time to talk to us. So, Darren, you've got a new book that just hit the shelves called Witness, a 60-day devotional through the book of Acts. But it's not just a devotional. Often when we think of scripture, at least, you know, my temptation when I think of scripture is to look back and say, hey, this is stuff that God did, you know, and the book of Acts is certainly a story of what God did. But is it just a story of what God did then, or do you see it more as an introduction to what God is continuing to do through the life of the church?
Yeah. A lot of people struggle to figure out what exactly Acts is. Is it the work of the Holy Spirit? Is it the work of Jesus? And I think it's the beginning of the work of the ascended Christ. Like Christ ascends, and this is now what it's like moving forward. And so I think the book of Acts is, yes, there are some things in there that are very specific in salvation history, but I think a lot of book of Acts is things we should just experience and we should expect. I love the testimony of a guy who started, I think it was Vineyard, and he said he was reading it with his church when he came to Christ in, and he was like, when do we get to do the stuff? And they're like, what stuff? And they're like, the stuff in the book of Acts. And they're like, yeah, it was Wimber. And he's like, we don't do that stuff anymore. And I'm just like, well, you travel the world and you see some things, and you just realize your expectations of God is often based on what you've experienced in your little life. And you get outside of that little life and you realize God's doing about a million things. And it kind of shakes your theology a little bit because you can't deny what you see with your eyes.
I know in Jesus in Athens, and if anyone is watching this and has not watched the documentary that Darren did on the work of Christ through the refugee population in Athens, that was full of just stories that, I think if you're around the mission world, you hear God doing unusual things, especially in bringing Muslims to Christ. But it's full of these stories of God just working in people's lives and bringing them to Him. And I think that's what you were kind of capturing in this devotional. Not only are you walking us through a guided devotional about the book of Acts, but also helping us to see that the same God that was at work then is the same God that is at work work now. You're with TLI. You traveled all around the world. You can tell us how many countries you were in. Now you're pastoring in a college town in Bozeman where you've got people from all over the world. How do you see stories of what God's doing around the world being relevant for what we need to know about, for what we need to do in the ministry we're doing today?
Let me pick on a word that you used. It was the word, God is doing things that are unusual. And I think we only use that word because we don't expect him to do things that he usually does in other places. And so, you know, like my friend from Iran, he would tell me stories about what was going on. They were all just crazy to me, miraculous. And I'd have to remind him of the stories because they were so normal. He'd just say, these happen all the time. It's just part of life. Mm. And I just, it just gives me pause then to say, okay, usually you hear speakers say, well, in the U.S., Satan is blinded us, or God's not working this way in the U.S., but outside the U.S., it's like this. And it's just, boy, that's a really tough dichotomy to square with how God seems to just act. Now, obviously, the biggest miracle of all is that we are saved by grace, that we are given the Holy Spirit, that we repent of our sins. That is a miracle. And yes, there's a lot of sensationalism, and yes, there's a lot of false reporting, and yes, there needs to be a lot of discernment. Yes, 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 fine, fine. You guys win. However, it seems that the Lord still does things miraculously, unmiraculously, normal life, and in the crazy life. I mean, I just got an email this morning of a guy went to Alaska, short-term missions trip, and they knew this guy had been blind, and the ministry knew the guy had been blind, and the teenagers got zealous, and they just said, we're going to pray for your healing. And they healed him of blindness, and everyone knew him before it happened, so it wasn't some made-up story. And you're just like, okay, what is that? You know, is that unusual? Is that extraordinary? Or is that just my expectations of God seem to be matched by what I think he can do and then what he does? Versus my expectations of God are bigger. And he sent, and when they are, things tend to happen because you pray differently, or you think differently, or you approach things differently.
I use that term unusual because I do think there's a normal way that God just ordinarily works through providence, right? You know, yeah. I mean, the sun rises and the sun sets, and it's predictable. You know, there's inputs and there's outputs, and God just works according to normal means most of the time. So I say ordinary, I just mean it in that way. Not that God doesn't do miracles. Of course, I do believe that God does miracles. But don't you see, I guess I'm loading the question by wording it that way, but from my perspective, at least.
Don't box me in, Scott. Don't box
me in. I'm shepherding you to my conclusions. I feel like I'm always pulling the reins back on young people. And maybe this is a fault of mine, of saying, hey, don't always be chasing the extraordinary. Like, wake up in the morning, read your Bible, pray, go to church, be faithful. You know, work your job, you know, don't be praying for the miracle to provide you with lottery winnings, but just go about doing the ordinary business of following Jesus. And I do think, like, from my perspective in the book of Acts, you see God, especially in these frontier works, validating the radical message of the death and resurrection of Jesus with miracles.
Yes.
But it also seems that the deeper you go in the establishment of the church, there's less of those validating sign miracles and a lot more of just the ordinary means of grace through the ordinances and the preaching and teaching of God's word. Do you agree with that, or am I missing something?
You're probably missing many things, Scott, but let me talk about this in particular. So here's a good example, I think, of the tension in Acts. Like, Paul gets arrested at the end of Acts, right? And then there's like one line, I think it's in Acts 20, and it says, and then 2 years passed. Mm. And that's it. And you just pause and you go, okay, here's the Apostle Paul, who had a dream about where to go, who is serving a Lord who broke, you know, people out of jail at times, who Paul was used to heal people at times. who was also, you know, stoned. People tried to kill him at times. And so the book of Acts, I think, is just a reality check. Like you get Acts 20, when he gets on the boat, there's only two friends with him on the boat, Luke being one of them. And you just realize it all kind of died down and people kind of disappeared. And yet another miracle happens when he shipwrecks. And so you just realize there's a tension going on in the book of Acts for sure, where he's in Jerusalem for 2 years in jail, and then he's house arrested in Rome. And when he's house arrested in Rome, it leads to all of Caesar's household hearing the gospel, is what we're told in the letters. So there is this tension of, yeah, the miracles happen, and the Lord seems to be breaking people out of jail, and people, you know, Eutychus is raised from dead or revived, however you want to describe it. And at the same time, and 2 years passed, you know, or Philip, he's another one, right? Like he's got daughters now who are prophesying. Where the freak did he go? He baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he disappears until 20 years later, when Paul and Luke run through his home on their way to Jerusalem, and they probably get the story from him as the source of that story. So there's a grind. There's him at home with kids, raising them, and his daughters are prophets. Okay. And there is an Ethiopian eunuch, which he bumps into, who's reading a scroll at the right moment, who he baptizes. And so there's just a million things going on in between the lines, I think, in the book of Acts. There's lots of examples of that, where it's just, there's the extraordinary, which you can call unusual. I don't know if that's fine, you win, you know, but it's just, it's that expectation, and there's just the normal life stuff expectation of Paul and Barnabas splitting and being stuck in jail for 2 years, and I got sick and I had to stay, or, you know, I got a haircut, you know, it's just all that, the normal stuff of life.
Yeah. You see, like in some of the more extreme signs and wonders type of church, we're not that far from Bethel. And so I'm pretty invested in like looking at what's going on at Bethel, and it's really frustrating and disgusting. And you deal with a lot of young people who just, I deal with a lot of young people who see that, and they want that. Of course, we all want to see some kind of validating miracle. And yet, it seems like in the book of Acts, God is doing these amazing things in the means of just ordinary faithfulness. And you're a pastor, and I know you've seen God do some great things there in Bozeman, but it hasn't been easy. And there's been some really difficult and challenging things. I think like any pastor who's really honest about the ministry knows that it's a grind. You get to see God do awesome things that blow your mind, but then are dealing with just heart-wrenchingly ordinary things that just...
Yeah. I can give you a great example of this right now. I can give you a great... So I just did a funeral for Maya Sullivan. Maya Sullivan adopted out of an orphanage in World War II. The Russians bomb it. Everyone dies. She flees by train to Sweden. The Nazis try to bomb the train. She grows up in Sweden as a refugee, horrible, right? She ends up here, and 30 years ago, she had incurable pancreatic cancer, healed miraculously. The hospice nurse last month was the same hospice nurse from 30 years ago, someone in our church. And so, she was caring for her. She wasn't the nurse, attending nurse or anything. And so you realize, okay, she was healed miraculously, crazy life, normal things. Her daughter died of glioblastoma cancer, brain cancer, just a couple years ago. Her husband died of cancer a couple years ago. She was healed miraculously of pancreatic cancer. So here's the tension. Like, she's healed. They're not healed, which is the book happens in the book of Acts. Not everyone gets healed. And yet everyone still dies. You know, and that's the craze with Bethel and all these other places. Every person who is healed in the New Testament also died.
So you're writing this book and you're also pastoring people. Is there reading these stories of what God's doing around the world? Is there reading what God's done in the book of Acts? What are you hoping that the average person, as they read and connect God's work then and God's working now, what are you hoping that people will come away from this 60-day study inspired by and motivated to do.
It's not my life verse or anything, but in Acts 15, Paul gets summoned down to Jerusalem, right? But he doesn't just go to Jerusalem from Antioch. He stops and he tells stories of the Gentiles coming to faith, which made the believers glad. And I feel like because I know, and you've been around too, like because we have been stewarded all of these stories, these things that are happening around the world, what should we do with them? We should tell them in order to make the believers glad. Now that makes it incumbent on us to make sure the stories are true, to make sure that we're doing the work, to make sure we're telling the story the right way. We're not exaggerating. Mm-hmm. We're not monetizing it to make, you know, a kingdom for ourselves. We're not putting the people we're in danger that we're telling the story of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was with John Piper a couple months ago, and he was like, "Darren, where do you get all these stories? Because I can't find them anywhere." And I was like, "Well, John, you have to talk to people." And he was like, "Yeah, point taken." And I just, that's, if you are open to talking to people, you're going to hear what God is doing. And my job, I think, is just to tell people what God is doing in order to strengthen them and make them glad. And if I can do that, I can get their eyes off of their mortgage payment, their kids are crazy, and they've got to go to sports, and they, you know, like their school and blah, blah, choices, that just tunnel vision, that's my life. And you realize God's doing a million things. And you know five, and you misinterpret four, and then one encourages you. And you're like, there's more than that going on. We have hard things in our life. I have hard things in my life. You have hard things in your life. People listening have hard things in their life. Okay. Yes, scripture is going to encourage you. Yes, Christ is enough. But what is a means in which that happens? One of the means is we tell the stories of what God is doing in order to make them glad.
I kind of liken it to, you know, Civil War history. I love Civil War history. I read biographies and battlefield stuff, and it's just fascinating to me. But like one of the things about that time is that it didn't have great communication. And so you can be on one flank of the battle and thinking it's going very badly and you're getting whooped. And on the other side, a major victory is taking place and your team just won. And you had no idea until an hour later when everyone's back at camp. And I do think there's something like that that's going on around the world where God is doing many things at once. And sometimes it feels like we're on our back foot and we might even feel like we're losing a little bit. And yet we know from stories like in the book of Acts that Paul's imprisonment served to really advance the gospel. So what felt like a defeat ended up becoming a great victory. And hearing these stories of what even God's doing in other places when we feel like we're being defeated. And yet, you know, like for instance, coming back to Jesus in Athens, like, yeah, you see what's happening with Muslim migration and it's pretty frightening, but yet we also see a story like what's happened in Athens and go, wow, but that's also a place where God has really done some amazing things through what has been a pretty unpleasant thing for this world. So we see that weird way that God's working around the world.
I visited a ministry that was working with Afghans, and I'd say, "Hey, man, how's the ministry?" And they say, "Man, Iranians are so hard to lead to Christ, but the Afghans, they're so open." And like 2 days later, I went to another ministry, and they said, "Hey, the Iranians are so easy to lead to Christ, but the Afghans are so hard." And they were a mile apart. And I'm just like, okay, what is that? And that is our prayer life and our expectations of what God is doing is limited to our blinders. And because of that, it shapes how we view what God does and what we expect him to do. Mm. I mean, you can draw a line in the book of Acts. My favorite one to do is, okay, Stephen gets murdered, right? Stephen gets murdered, people flee, and where do they plant a church out of?
Yeah.
Antioch, right?
Yeah.
They get to Antioch, 14 years, a decade passed. And who then becomes the pastor of that church? Paul. And so Paul, who is the guy who was at Stephen's death, then and forced these people to move, now becomes the pastor of the people that he had forced to move into mission because people weren't doing evangelism yet. They were doing evangelism, but they were getting forced out. And so he's now their pastor. And then after a year, he becomes their missionary. And then he goes out and his first convert is Sergius Paulus. So When did Sergius Paulus's conversion begin? It began at Stephen's death. It probably began before that, but that's how we can trace it. Stephen's death, Saul is there. They run to Antioch. They plant the church. He becomes their pastor, which you want to think about the church too movement, friends? Like, your pastor is the guy who killed your friend and who forced you to move by forced migration. Submit to him. Like, everyone have these questions, right? And then he becomes the, then there's like, we're going to put our hands on you because you're the most gifted guy and we're sending you out. And then you're going to get over to the island and you're going to hike two mountain ranges. And then you're going to lead Sergius Paulus to Christ. Sergius, like, what is Paul and Barnabas thinking? Like, how do we get here? Well, you got here because you killed Stephen. And Stephen's murder led to the spreading of the gospel through forced migration.
Yes, that's an amazing. I use this little device to help me remember those stories because, you know, Acts 13 is the huge missionary passage that you bring out. But you don't get you don't get Acts 13 without going to 7-11. Acts 7, the killing of Stephen. Acts 11 is the church being dispersed and ending up in Antioch. And it helps me remember just, hey, when things are bad or happening and dispersion happens, hey, God's at work in that. And that's an amazingly encouraging thing that we need to think about. And so throughout the 60-day Bible study, you have all these little stories. We've talked about a little bit of that already, but I'm guessing, knowing you, that there's a whole lot of stories that didn't make the cut. And so I don't want to like just bore people by reading the book to them now and they can just buy it themselves and hear those stories. But what are some of the stories that you've heard as you've traveled, and maybe you can even just talk a little bit about what TLI does and where TLI is serving around the world. But what are some of the stories that you've heard that didn't make the cut that you wish everyone got to hear about?
Gosh, there are so many. I was thinking this week of this guy who's he was the head of the Kachin Baptist Convention. He actually, Trump had him into the White House, I think, during his first term because he had been thrown in jail. And when I visited him, I was standing with Jason Meyer, who had taken over for John Piper, senior pastor. And we went up to this this statue, and it was a statue commemorating the 3x300 movement, which is the Kachin had sent out 300 missionaries for 3 years, similar to the Gospels. They went out without anything. And as we're standing there, this guy says, hey, you see that second name on the list of the 300? I said, yeah. He goes, he was actually killed and raised from the dead. And I'm looking at him like, I'm sorry, come again? He goes, yeah, and we can go talk to him about it if you want. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. Like, my theology is all messed up right now. Maybe he was almost dead and revived. like he said, no, he was dead for like 2 days.
Mostly and the dead. Whole He's town mostly came. Dead.
Mostly dead. Yeah. He's like, take this pill. True love. I hear stories like that and I'm just like, man. Or this story I heard, you know, just 24 hours ago of this guy being healed from being blind, or you know, the work of Bible translation right now, being all the Bible translation heads are all African right now, and all the Bible translation where stuff is happening is mostly churches, regional churches now, not Western missionaries going primarily do the translation, but to help regional churches to do translation of places that are close to them in proximity, because Americans are terrible with language, as we all know. So there's just, I mean, there are stories just in Bozeman. There are stories where I live. There's stories around everyone. It's just, you just have to talk to people and you realize, man, God is just orchestrating a million things. Like it was a year ago, 18 months ago, I'm driving this terrible drive from Minneapolis to Bozeman through North Dakota. And I have to stop in Fargo to stay the night, which is a terrible place to have to stay. And I got to the hotel, I had booked it for the wrong weekend. And so I get on my phone, I book another hotel in Fargo. It's late at night while I'm driving. I pull up, the guy at the desk has an ESV study Bible open. Well, I've just been with the with John Piper, you know, like the guy who, one of the guys who was part of that study Bible. And so I say, hey man, what's that about? And he says, well, I'm an atheist and my friends have become Christians and I'm trying to prove them wrong. And so I'm sitting there, me being me, thinking to myself, what is happening? Why did I book the wrong hotel? Why did I pick this hotel? Why does he have an ESV study Bible open? Is I'm coming from Bethlehem. And why does he have it there? And I say, hey, man. And there's people behind me. So I'm like, I'm going to tell you about the resurrection and just give him that only. And he's like, well, I'm an intellectual. I'm like, okay, here's The Reason for God and John Lennox. Go read those two guys. You know, I walked out of there and I thought, he's going to be a Christian. Like, God doesn't send an ambassador. His ambassador providentially to do that. So is that unusual? Is that an unusual means or is that a usual means? And I just go, that's just the Lord doing something in that moment. And I just go, okay, yeah.
I have one. I might've shared it on here before, but I can't remember if I shared it. I might've just shared it on the overtime episode that we do. But we have a Chinese family in our church from mainland China, and non-believers, atheists for the most part. And they had a young son. He was like 10 years old at the time. And it just so happened that a family from Missouri moved into the neighborhood, and this little boy was a Christian, and he began, you know, boldly going out to tell his friends about the Lord, and came up to the young man that now comes to my church and shared the gospel with him. And, you know, it's the first time he'd ever heard of it. And it intrigued him. And so he went home and started reading the Bible on his own. Time had gone past. That family ended up moving away from Missouri somewhere else. The little boy felt discouraged because no one had trusted the gospel. But this young man, his name is Ben, goes to my church. He started reading the Bible and finally comes to his mom and says, you know, mom, I need to go to church. And the mom said, well, there's no churches around here. And he responded as an 10 or 11 year old would do, well, what are all those buildings with crosses on them? So the mom was starting to realize, okay, we need to, my son, he's a very gifted young man. And he wants to go to church. Why not take him to church? Well, it just so happened that there was another Mandarin speaking lady in their neighborhood who goes to BSF at our church Bible study fellowship, and spoke to this. They were talking and walking one night and said, well, there's an English speaking church that you should check out. It's, you know, Western Hills Church, where I'm the pastor. And so one Sunday, it was on Easter. They had no idea what Easter was. they didn't know that it was Easter. They just showed up on Easter Sunday. So that was unusual. The usual thing, though, is that for the next year, just sitting under the faithful preaching of God's word and other people in our church coming around alongside of them, and they're doing gardening together and talking about the gospel, and they're doing this and that together. One young man who was our first college student to come to our church, who was also another story that's just kind of, is it usual or unusual? He was discipling him. Every Sunday after church, they go outside, read through a chapter of the book of John and discuss it and read the next one the next week. And over the course of the year, this young man came to Christ. He was baptized on Easter Sunday, 1 year after he first started coming to church. The mom has since put her faith and trust in Christ. And she's waiting till Easter to get baptized because she wants to keep this Easter pattern going, which is really awesome. And you're like, you know, God is moving people around. That little boy from Missouri did not know what his bold little attempt to share the gospel in his neighborhood was going to do. And yet he's gone, probably doesn't even know that Ben has become a Christian, that his mom's become a Christian, that his parent is that Ben's, you know, family sometimes comes to church even otherwise. And who knows where this is going to go? You know, God's doing this work around the world. And it's exciting to see what God's doing there.
And all the, I mean, especially in the Jesus in Athens film, there was the feeding of people, the clothing of people, free showers, just basic care and love of people who were not just neglected, but questioned, not believed. And for probably good reason, in a lot of the cases, And yet at the same time, it seemed to be attended with powerful demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, Satan's right on the, you know, the blind spot. And, you know, Muslims would have dream of Jesus, and then there'd be people faking dreams of Jesus. And there'd be conversions, and then there'd be people faking conversions in order to get asylum. And so we shouldn't expect Satan to sit on his hands. I mean, he's dumb, right? Like, he knows he's lost. He knows his time is short. He's going to lose in a fury. And yet he still continues to try. And so he's not sitting on his hands either. So I don't dismiss all the amazing things just because I know that Bethel's out there and there's other hyper charismatic, satanic even things going on. That's just, that just shows me that Satan just apes what God is doing. And as a Christian, you can just be discerning and say, there are amazing things God is doing around the world. We don't have to be pessimists about all of it. We can just say the Lord is at work and Satan is trying to undermine it. And yet the gospel goes out. And so Christian, here's my last thing. You don't need to be discouraged. You don't need to be discouraged about the American church and politics and race discussions. And you could just list a million things. You could easily be discouraged. And yet God is doing a million things. And one day we might get to know more of them. And we will probably realize the opportunities that we missed to be encouraged by what God is doing because our blinders were on and we had tunnel vision.
The book is called Witness, 60-day devotional to the book of Acts. Where can people find it? And where can people find more of your writing, more of your ministry, and connect with you if they have any other questions?
I write a weekly email, the Monday after email that goes out. You can get that on the Training Leaders International website, or you can subscribe to that. It's just a devotional, something, a story God's doing around the world and a resource. No requests for money, nothing. It's just a straight up encouragement. You can find me at if you're ever going to Yellowstone, I'm at Redeemer, which is just about an hour away in Bozeman, Montana, home of the hopefully soon to be Montana State Bobcat National Champions for the FCS. We'll see. And then you can buy Witness pretty much anywhere. It's published by New Growth Press. You can also get it on Amazon. If you just want to get some encouragement or you just need a little structure to read the book of Acts, this is where you can go.
Thank you so much, Darren, for joining us. And thank you to you, our listeners, who follow the show and stay connected. And thank you so much for all that you do to keep the show running. If you could do us a favor, just go online, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Also, make sure to do the follow button on iTunes or whatever your podcast of choice is. That really helps our show get in front of everybody. And until next time, go and make disciples of the nations.